Hello, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Murat, and today we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Old Testament. We left off last time. The Israelites are getting close to entering the Promised Land, as they were close 40 years earlier. At that time, they refused to go in. They disobeyed God. They rebelled against Him, angered Him. And so He, as their punishment, told them to turn around and wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that entire generation died off. Well, they changed their mind, but it was too late. Well, they changed their mind and they presumptuously tried to go into the Promised Land without God's approval. In fact, He told them not to. Moses warned them, God warned them, and they didn't listen. And that's where we pick up our study actually today in verse 43 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. And it says this. Moses says, "So I told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command, and in your arrogance, you marched up into the hill country." They could hear, but they wouldn't listen. They would not listen to God. They would not listen to Moses. They attempted to do what God had forbidden them to do. And the result is verse 44. "The Amorites who lived in those hills came out against you. They chased you like a swarm of bees and beat you down from Seir all the way to Hormah." If you've ever disturbed a beehive, then you know that the bees come out in swarms. And they come out in the attack mode. And the Amorites attacked Israel like a swarm of angry bees. And they were on their own. God was not there with His can of raid to spray on them either. And so they got whooped bad. In verse 45, "You came back and wept before the Lord, but He paid no attention to your weeping and turned a deaf ear to you." And they had a lot to weep about too. They wept because so many of them were killed when they presumptuously went up and tried to take the Holy Land after God said no. And so they were weeping, no doubt, because many of them got killed. They wept because of their sin. They probably wept because God ordered them to go back into the wilderness and wander until that entire generation was dead. They were weeping and they were praying, but God had no pity on them this time. And He would not change His mind. And they remind me of people who go to hell. Jesus said that hell is filled with people who are weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth, but they are not receiving any pity from God. See, once this life is over, no more pity. Verse 46. "And so you stayed in Kadesh many days, all the time you spent there." And some ancient Jewish writers say that the Israelites stayed right where they were in Kadesh Barnea for about 19 years before they moved on into the wilderness. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Then we turned back and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. As the Lord had directed me, for a long time we made our way around the hill country of Seir." And it was toward the end of their years of wandering, actually, that they came to the area of Seir. In verse 2, "Then the Lord said to me," in other words, while they were in the hill country of Seir, God spoke to Moses, and this is what He said in verse 3, "You have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north." And so it was time for Israel to head north toward the land of promise. And that must have been welcome news for Israel. I mean, after 40 years of wandering, at last they get some clear direction from God. And there was some purpose to the direction that they were going, and it was a good one. And they were told to head toward their new home in the Holy Land. Verse 4, "Give the people these orders. You are about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. They will be afraid of you, but be very careful. The descendants of Esau, that is referring to the nation Edom. The Edomites, the descendants of Esau, were actually distant relatives of the Israelites, and that is why God calls them Israel's brothers. But anyway, when Israel starts moving toward the Holy Land, they will be moving toward the land of Edom as well. And God says that's going to make them afraid. And God is warning his people not to take advantage of Edom's fears and hurt them in some way. Verse 5. Do not provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land, not even enough to put your foot on. I have given Esau the hill country of Seir as his own. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and everything on it. God owns the world, and he owns everyone and everything on it. And he has the right to give whatever he wants to whoever he wants. And he gave Edom their territory, just as he will give Israel theirs. Verse 6. You are to pay them in silver for the food you eat and the water you drink. Now, just because God gave Israel manna to eat every day, that doesn't mean that they couldn't have something different to eat if they had the opportunity to get it. And so God says, if you're going to eat some of the food from the territory of the Edomites, so then you make sure you pay them for it. God did not want his reputation tarnished by his people stealing food. He wanted them to act properly. And there was another reason for them to pay for their food also. Look at verse 7. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything. And so God had taken good care of Israel. There was no need for them to steal their food in order to survive. They had the means to pay for their food and drink, and so they must pay for it. And God did not want them to steal food like some desperate beggar might have to when, you know, after he had already prospered them so much. There was no need for that sort of thing. God was saying, don't act like you're a desperate, poor person who hasn't been taken care of. Not after I have prospered you like I have. And you see, that would also misrepresent how God blessed them too. What's the matter? Doesn't your God bless you enough to provide you with the means to buy food that you have to run around and steal it? And so God says, you make sure you pay for anything that you eat or drink. Verse 8. So we went on past our brothers and the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. And we turned from the Arabah road, which comes up from Elath and Ezion Geber, and traveled along the desert road of Moab. They had gone north, remember? Well, now they are turning east. Verse 9, then the Lord said to me, do not harass the Moabites or provoke them to war, for I will not give you any part of their land. I have given Ar to the descendants of Moab as a possession. Israel needs to carefully obey God on their way to the promised land. They're going to get their land, and God will help give it to them too. He will bless them. But they will fail, and they will find themselves in a lot of trouble if they try to take land that God says belongs to somebody else. God wants us to be content with what he gives us and not to covet what belongs to someone else. Verse 10. The Edomites used to live there, a people strong and numerous and as tall as the Anakites. The Edomites. You probably don't remember these folks, but if you've been with us since the beginning in Genesis, you might recall, but I kind of doubt that we read about the Edomites way back in Genesis 14. They were mentioned in that chapter. They were actually a part of the first war ever recorded in the scriptures. Verse 11. Like the Amalekites, they too were considered Rephaites, but the Moabites called them Emites. Well, that can be kind of confusing, but I'll just say this. Rephaim was a name for giants back in those days. They were a group of people, big, heavy, and tall. And they really were giants. Don't know how big they were. The Bible does record that one fellow was over 9 feet tall. So, big guys and very intimidating as well. Verse 12, Horites used to live in Seir, but the descendants of Esau drove them out. They destroyed the Horites from before them and settled in their place, just as Israel did in the land the Lord gave them as their possession. Actually, Esau's descendants got their foot in the door down in the territory of the Horites by marrying some of them. And then after a while, then they drove those people out of their land and it became the home of Esau's descendants, Edom. But again, that is the way God designed it. He evidently designed that the Edomites would have that territory, as he said, just like the Israelites received their land. And the earth is the Lord's, and he can give it to whoever he wants. Verse 13, the Lord said, Now get up and cross the Zered Valley. So we crossed the valley. It wasn't just the valley. There was also a small river that they had to cross, more like a brook, I guess. Verse 14, 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley. By then, that entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp as the Lord had sworn to them. And so it had been 38 years since the 12 Israelite scouts came back from the Holy Land. 10 of them said, We can't believe God. We can't trust God. We cannot take that land because we're going to die if we obey God and we go in there. Well, they all died all right. They died in the desert during their 38 years of wandering, not because they obeyed God, but because they disobeyed God. Verse 15, and we will stop here today. The Lord's hand was against them until he had completely eliminated them from the camp. God's hand was against them. In other words, his power was released in the form of wrath, not blessing. And there is no way that anyone can survive that. Which is why every one of the men of that generation died in the wilderness and never entered the promised land. Next time we will pick up our study in verse 16 of Deuteronomy chapter 2. Father, teach us to number our days, that we may gain the heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us, in Jesus' name. Until next time, this is Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Till next time, so long, everyone.